Oh, yes.
Well, Teko, welcome to the NetBank Football Reality Series. It's pretty much of an honor for me to have a conversation with you, and I call it conversation because this is more footballers' conversation to share our experience. I guess more than anything, it's because I've watched you play. I've actually analyzed your games, which is pretty much of an honor. But football is all about decision-making,
yeah,
as you would know.
Yeah.
But I'd rather start this with the biggest decision that you had to make.
Yeah.
When you retire,
yeah,
must have taken a lot.
It actually did. I think it was one of the most difficult decisions that I had to take, and it took me maybe 3 seasons to actually start thinking about it, because one, wanted to retire while I'm still enjoying the game,
yeah,
but also you can't tell what's going to happen in the future,
yeah.
So I remember after winning a trophy, while people are celebrating,
yeah,
it didn't feel exactly how I thought it would, because it was the last trophy that I won domestically, and it didn't feel right. I didn't feel excited that like I'm supposed to.
Yeah.
And I think at that time, that's when I decided that this will be my last season, based on the feeling that I had, because I was no longer enjoying the game that I'm supposed to, and I didn't want to start feeling like it's a job, because I was playing with so much passion, because everyone that knows me knows how much I love football. And from that feeling on, from the feeling that I had on that day, actually, that's the one that propelled me to actually decide to retire.
Let's go deeper into that.
Yeah.
Because when one makes a decision to say, I am retiring from football, there's a whole lot of things that comes to mind.
Of course.
If you have a parent, the parents that say, Wanaka, what are you going to start eating now? How are you going to survive?
Yeah.
You are retiring from football. You just have a wife now. You have a baby that's probably on the way as well. What is going to happen? Did those well get factored into that decision that you're taking? I understand the passion to say,
yeah,
perhaps it might have been gone, but I think you would have gone deeper,
yeah,
into saying, yes, I can make it. I can survive. Did that creep in as well?
It did. And also... what helps is now you're sharing this idea with,
yeah,
the people that are close to you.
Yeah.
They're the ones who are more scared than you. They ask those type of questions. What are you going to do now? How are you going to survive?
Yeah.
And also knowing the story of how South African footballers, especially after I retire, what everybody says about them. So I think that was the biggest fear for them. So now when they approached me in that sense, it also brought fear.
Yeah.
And with the fear that I never had before.
Yeah.
Because for me was, I played the game because of the passion that I had.
Yes.
It was never to, I didn't know football, you know, you get paid at some point.
Yeah.
And once you realize that, okay, it's always nice to get paid for what you do. But for me, when I joined the game, it wasn't because of that. And also when I retired in the game as well, it wasn't because of that was affected. It was just me understanding as to who I am at that time. Because I think at the highest of the highest, as I was, I didn't understand. I didn't know who I was. But then when I went to Cape Town to play for Cape Town City,
yeah,
while I sacrificed so much in terms of money to go to play in Cape Town, it's me trying to discover myself.
Yeah.
Because I realized with all the money that was coming through when I was playing for Sundowns, which is a big team,
yeah,
and I wasn't myself. I was making all of the bad decisions in terms of money.
Yeah.
So now going to Cape Town City where you're earning less, now you start... You start appreciating budget.
Yeah.
And it's something that I never...
never thought.
Oh, no.
It was never about budgeting.
No,
it's all
no.
about spending.
Yeah, yeah.
Without calculating.
Yeah. And the worst thing that I had was, for me, was I would spend on anything that I like.
Yeah.
And sometimes it would go out of hand. You know, dig into my savings and just to go and spend.
Yeah.
And for me, it was... And always when that happened, is because of I'm trying to, you know... block the pain that I'm feeling.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get something new to just to compensate from the pain that,
yeah,
I had.
Yeah.
And now it was worse when I was consistently on the pain. So I was buy. And only realizing that the pain wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
So for me, is the bad thing was I never thought of budget. It wasn't part of my vocabulary, which is bad.
And the lessons learned out of that, because I'm saying lessons learned out of that, because it was more, we're talking about you.
Mm.
And then we realize suddenly it's no longer about you,
mm-hmm,
because there's this person that you would call my wife,
mm-hmm,
that is there, and there needs to be planning around it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you declare somebody and say, this is my wife, this is the person that I'm going to be living with, And suddenly there's this decision before you, I'm stopping this football thing.
Yeah.
And this wife says, this guy is stopping football.
Yeah.
Where are the income streams coming from? Yeah. How are we going to survive?
Yeah.
It's no longer about you.
Yeah.
It's no longer about suddenly going, you know, buying things randomly.
Yeah.
You've got to calculate.
Yeah.
Was that discussion that thorough when you sat down and have this conversation?
No. And the worst thing is my wife is a financier, so she knows more about money.
Yeah.
So she was the one that was more calculative in terms of that. And I wasn't, because of I was going through what I was feeling at the time.
Yeah.
And the feeling that I had was, I need to retire right now. I can't keep on going the way that I'm going. And I always listen to that inner voice.
Yeah.
Yet again, in terms of trying to calculate as to how you're going to survive, what are the implications of you retiring at that time?
Yeah.
Have you saved enough? And I always say to my wife that it I can play 100 years in South African football, in the PSL. I will never be able to save enough to sustain me after retirement. Because at some point, you're getting paid according to your age, not according to your talent.
Yeah.
So therefore, you'll never make enough for you to sustain you after retirement. So now, unfortunately for me, I got into the PSL at the later stage, where I was still 25, but still regarded as a youngster. So therefore, you're getting paid according to the youngster, not because of the talent.
Yeah.
So I feel like everywhere I went, I was underpaid. So for me, I never felt worried, but there's enough that I can say for me to sustain myself. But now when you meet somebody that is more knowledgeable in terms of money, now,
yeah.
start asking you questions that are very uncomfortable. So now, and being a guy, you know, when there's ego involved, you need to declare as to how much you're earning.
Yeah.
Because now we're scared to declare how much you're earning because you think she might not look at you the same way that,
yeah.
you know. So that became a problem of us declaring to her as to how much I was earning. And that took a lot for me to do that. But it was also because of I had to decide as to, this is the person that is introduced, or this is the person that is in my life right now.
Yeah.
And at the peak of our relationship, I'm retiring from football.
Yeah.
So now we need to find ways as to how we're going to work around this. And I think that was a discussion that, It was, many sleepless nights, but it had to happen.
And I would imagine you then had to, after saying that, how difficult it was, but you finally came out and said, listen, I'm doing this thing and this is how I'm getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how much I'm getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a lot of planning that needs to happen.
Yeah.
You were buying randomly and you have to start calculating to say, I can't just buy now.
Yeah.
I've got to consider this person. There's levies that needs to be paid and all of those things. And that's probably much more detailed to say, how do you then create systems? And I would imagine that triggered systems that needed to be created in terms of how money gets spent and how it gets invested as well.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I mean, you're from an era where, or a position of you getting money, you deciding on what you do with your money. And now you're on the transition of retiring. So now whatever that you make, you give to your wife to decide what needs to happen with it, how to place it, because you're also learning an understanding about money as well. Because the most difficult thing of being a footballer in South Africa is we never had a point of reference from a footballer to say, he did this and this, so therefore this is the way to follow in terms of how to save money and how to do this thing.
Yeah.
So we always learn as we go. And as we learn as we go, there's so many mistakes that we do. And unfortunately, most people kind of recover from that.
Yeah.
And for us, we consider ourselves very lucky because you're able to recover from that. And also, it helps that you have a wife that is into money as well, that knows and studied money. And then now, the system now comes to a point where now I have to ask for petrol money.
Ever?
Because now I'm not in charge anymore. So
yeah.
I need to understand that this household for me, because if I feel something, I know that I'm going to go back to my norm.
Okay.
Go back and go buy, spend, and be great the next day. So for this system to work, I need to be very submissive.
Yeah.
And also financially, so I need to do that. So that's what I started doing. Gave her everything that she needs to, and then she's the one that started controlling until I got to learn and understand the value of money. It took me forever.
Well, I'm glad you're mentioning that it took you forever, because I think this is a learning curve.
Yeah.
But also you mentioning the hardships and the toughness that you've gone through in terms of realizing that at some point I was actually wasting this money.
Yeah.
But now I take what we call calculated risks in terms of spending money. There's part that I need to spend, there's part that I need to save. Over and above that, there's a gentleman who sits next to you who becomes an agent as well.
Yeah.
How much of a role does an agent play as well? Yes, there is advice at home. But if you were to also say, I've retired from football, how else can I get an income stream? Do you consult to end up becoming an analyst? Do you consult to end up endorsing people's products to create an additional income stream post your retirement?
Look, I think first, it's if you do have a brand that is big enough, you can consult as to all these bigger brands to be associated with.
Correct.
But also, if you do get advices from the agents as to where to place your money.
Yeah.
But also, the problem is, or the norm is, you always get advice. All of us were getting advice to do the same thing.
Yeah.
We, a footballer that is 29, for me, in my experience, I'm 29 as a footballer in the country, I'm buying a 3 million house.
Yeah.
At 33, you're expected to retire. There is no way that I'll be able to pay that house off.
Correct.
So now that's a bad investment. So now I was told that, no, buy a bigger house. That's an investment, and it's not. So now we end up getting ourselves in those problems, and that becomes so dangerous at the end because you can't come out of.
Yeah.
And now even with your savings are getting affected because now
correct.
You can't keep on paying this thing. But now if you get taught about money in an early age when you come into the PSL and being taught in a sense that they don't just give you a responsibility, you're from Kokas and then they just give you money, you see what you need to do. If there is a system that is there for people to be taught about money, to be taught about investment and what is an investment, because at the end of the day, the bad thing that we used to do as footballers is anybody that is wearing a suit to come and tell me about money, I'll never listen to
them. I don't listen
no,
to
no, no, I don't know you. Though you can't come here and tell me about my money.
Yeah.
That was the biggest problem that we had.
Yeah.
So now, looking back in hindsight, one would have wished that I could have listened more
correct.
And took those advices and be in a position where you save more. But at the time, also, the challenge of being a South African, that there's a certain standard, that you need to maintain. And being a person that is always on TV, they're expecting you to be this person, to act this way, to drive this car, to stay in this house.
Yeah.
And now because of you as a boy that from Soweto or wherever you come from,
correct.
Being an insecure person. So now you're feeding those insecurities by feeding the expectations. You're no longer happy, but you're happy when somebody sees the expectations that they have for you.
Yeah.
So I think that is also the biggest problem that I had to go through.
Yeah.
And within that, you're spending so much money, losing so much money, trying to please everybody else but yourself.
Key thing is that you had to zoom in and focus on yourself, focus on the systems.
Yeah.
And I always want to use the rationale that is there for us. Sometimes we tend to miss it. We often talk about formations in football. You move there, you calculate, you do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pass in a much more progressive way. You've got to be cautious in what we do for us to go forward.
Yeah.
And when you look at what you went through when you retire, and you look at the system that I'm helping, do you see synergy in terms of it can actually help you to make certain decisions? Because in football, you've got to, it's all about decision making.
Yeah, yeah.
A decision can get you to go wrong. There are times where you've got to take calculated
things. Yeah.
Do you think there is that synergy that you see?
There is a synergy, the big one. I think right now I'm a person that think maybe 5 times if I have to spend on anything.
Yeah.
Because now I understand the value of money. Now I understand the system that we built in our home.
Yeah.
To say this is how we do things.
Correct.
And ever since that system was there, I mean, not everything is smooth, but everything gets to be done. And now I can imagine if I had that type of a system later on in my career. But also, I wouldn't have the experience that I have. I wouldn't have learned all the things that I've learned about the system and what it means actually to have those type of things that help you to save money in the way that you should and spending it in the way that you should. Because also the problem is, Hotman, you want to have money.
Yeah.
And you want to spend it.
Yeah.
But now you don't know how much is a little bit, right? As a person now that is so used to getting money for so many years.
Yeah.
So now I'm getting what I'm getting. I'm giving it to you as my wife and say, okay, do what you're supposed to do. Handle all the right things. And then when I have to come back to you and say, okay, I don't even have an amount. I don't have a number because I'm not used to asking for money.
Correct.
Yeah. So now it most of the time it messes one up because of you don't know how to approach this. You're never prepared for this life because retirement in South Africa is not as easy.
It's not as easy.
It's not because not everybody can be a coach. Not everybody can be an analyst. Not everybody can be a businessman. All of us want to be a businessman, but not everybody can.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's us deciding later in our career as to what path we want to take. It's too late at that time. So now you're trying everything. Your hands are all over the place because you undecided as to what to do. But yet again, I think that's when also the biggest problem is you being undecided. Can you imagine the decisions that you make? Can you understand the decision that you make about your life? So you're forever working backwards. And I think that is the problem.
I'm going to use two clubs that you played for. There's Pirates that you played for.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go back to the other ones. I will come back to the other ones. I'm going to talk about Pirates and Sundowns. Someone saying, at Pirates, you don't make money, but you learn about life.
Yeah.
And the hardships about life to survive. True. You go to Sundowns. If you are not prepared and you have not been part of a Pirate system where you've got to build character, the likelihood of you off-ramping exists. You subscribe to that.
Of course, of course. Look, you're right. In a sense that with the Orlando Pirates, the structure is totally different from any team that I played for.
Yeah.
And with Sundowns is they believe in your ability so much that there's too many things going on. So they don't have time to actually come back and ask you, are you using your money right? Or are you in a good space?
Correct.
And all that type of stuff. Because of also the expectations of the club itself. But at Orlando Pirates, like you said, it teaches you so much. And you only understand and learn about those things when you're no longer there. When I was there at Orlando Pirates, I didn't see those things. No, I wasn't seeing those things.
Yeah.
I was fighting my own demons and fighting my own battles. But whatever that I was fighting for, it helped me to become the person that I am today.
Yeah.
Because now, if as a footballer and as a person, I got to be in a position where I could speak to people that were involved and be man enough to tell them and to have a conversation with them and speak my mind. And I think from then on, I sort of gained respect as a person.
Yeah,
because everybody that sees me saw me as a player, and I was always fighting this to be seen also as a human being that makes decisions.
Correct.
And from there on, I've learned that, and I was given that type of respect. So when I went to Mamelodi Sundowns, it was easy for me to acclimatize to that situation because I come from a school of hardship.
Yes,
Orlando Pirates, where you learn. Yeah. Where if you guys lose, you can't even go and buy bread.
Yes.
It's so sad that so you can't just walk around.
No, you can't. Lose, you can't.
You know? So coming back from that today, and I was expecting the same culture in Mamelodi Sundowns. It wasn't there.
Yeah.
Where people lose, people didn't care. It was shocking to me. And I'm like, okay, this is a different environment where I need to readjust myself.
Yeah.
But also by doing that, it's you're going to, you know, bump heads with people because now you expecting so much from them and everyone, they're not there. So you want the team to win all the time.
Yeah.
Like, okay, if you found us here, then you come and tell us as to how to do things. But it's just that it's a culture that I've learned from Orlando Pirates to my Sundowns.
Then you have the situation of going to Cape Town City.
Yeah.
With all the experience accumulated.
Yeah.
Life lessons.
Yeah.
From Orlando Pirates. Mm. You have Sundowns that says, listen, with us, free flow.
Yeah.
You perform, we pay you, no problem.
No.
I always joked around to say when I was a Pirate, used to get paid on the 35th of the month.
So you never know when it's coming.
No, because then they will pay you based on the starting lineup. So you learn this thing. You know,
but
those are the lessons
that
you take, and that's the character that you build being at Pirates to say, I was part of the system, it made me stronger.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to easily fall when I get to be exposed to the Sundown structure.
Yeah.
You get to Cape Town City. Do you feel you are much more wiser, experienced to guide those that are around you? Were you able to create conversations around the experiences that you've had?
I think when I went to Cape Town City, I started becoming a problem. because I knew better, I knew more.
Yeah.
So now I started asking questions that were very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So now, so I started to feel like I'm a speaker for all the younger ones, because I don't want them to go through what we went through. So I started asking them questions also that are very uncomfortable, because I wish those are the questions that somebody would have asked me at that age.
Correct.
So now you get the capacity with all the experience that you have, with all the hardship that you've learned with other parts, and with all the free fall that you've learned from Nani Sundowns, you combine them together, you find this person that is sitting right here in front of you. So this is me trying to teach those to those boys at Cape Town. So I remember having a conversation like, as a Cape Town born, playing for a Cape Town team, you cannot be renting. You cannot be paying rent. It doesn't make sense.
But you come from Cape Town.
You are from there.
And then why would you want to rent?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But also, it's a conversation that it's not easy as footballers to have conversation about money or to have conversations about decisions. It's not. You might advise somebody to go to a certain club and after that, they'll never talk to you again because they think that you're a bad influence. But also, only realizing later on that actually you were right. It's same as decisions about that, what I'm saying, that when I went to Cape Town, I became a problem because I started asking those type of questions. And I feel like with all the experience that I had, for me, the question was, why must I keep the experience that I have with him? Why can't I share? And the chances are some of the people might not like it. Some might be very appreciative if they get this type of information, but I'm going to give it out anyway because that's the type of person that I am. I'm not here to hurt anybody, but I'm here to give out. Because I've learned so much in the game and I want to give back what the game has taught me as well. So that's what I did at Cape Town City.
National team. It's a group of different individuals that you meet. When things are going well, the organization would have agreed in terms of the incentives for you guys. The incentives for you guys to say, Bafoetsu, when you win, we get to this stage.
Yeah.
What sort of conversations goes around the national team around issues of money, experiences from their respective clubs? You never come to the national team to come and play. What sort of conversations do you guys have?
I think, before I even get to it, I think the weirdest part is just we have, in South African football, I would call it a culture.
Yeah.
And I think with that culture, we have a problem of having conversations about money. Whenever you bring money conversations up, people get uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So in the Bafana setup, we always had to have conversations like that. And when I got into the setup, I was one of the younger guys or local guys that represented local players with all the overseas players. So I had to go in part of the senior players to go and represent other ones. So every time when we're there in those type of meetings, when they speak about money, it's always a very uncomfortable conversations to have. But also what I liked was the people that I was representing, which were local players, they were just happy for the opportunity being given to play for Bafana.
Yeah.
So for me to have that conversation with all the senior guys, it wasn't that difficult because we were not there to get paid or to do what we always thought, to play for the national team is an honor and then we're privileged to be in this space. But the problem now became when we went for the World Cup.
Yeah.
But now we're hosting, we're reading all these things that, you know, SAFA is getting how much?
There's a grant from FIFA, there's this from whoever.
And every team that participates needs to get a participation fee.
Correct.
And for the image rights, we never got paid for any image rights.
You didn't, but some of them did not even know what image rights
were. We didn't even know what that was. And now the expectations, again, I would go, once the tournament is done, you hosted the World Cup in Africa, the whole hype of it.
Yeah.
We from Soweto, where we know what poverty is.
Yeah.
So now, after the World Cup, people expecting you to probably maybe live a better life, to stay in the same team, for instance, somewhere.
Yeah.
And then you're not. Because they're thinking, with all the money that we've seen in the headlines, you guys probably made some of it.
Yeah.
And the reality is, we didn't. But nobody knew. So when you walked out of the World Cup, it looked like we made so much money. And we didn't. The money that we made, I think I made more money at a Bafana camp in Brazil than I did with the World Cup. And now that's what I'm saying. It comes back to the culture that we have. It's such a problem to have a conversation about money. And I don't know why. And if we can start having an open conversation about money, we educate so many people. And also, we don't allow people to come and rob us just because you are a footballer. And being a footballer, the only thing that you're supposed to do is just chase around this white thing and don't ask about money. I think that's the biggest problem. That's the biggest concern that we have in the South African football.
Let me get into the field of play. Because there's a gentleman called Pitso Mosimane.
Yes. Jingles.
Jingles. Who, in his own way, can be harsh.
He's, trust me, I know. I know.
He can be very harsh.
Yeah.
You played at some point under Pitso.
Yeah.
At Sundowns. And then there's the national team.
At SuperSport as well.
At SuperSport as well. Because you started at SuperSport from being recruited from the first division to go to SuperSport. And then he gets to be pretty critical on you in terms of how you play.
Yeah.
Your style.
Mm.
Where I'm thinking, you are Donner.
Yeah.
You are using, you are used to passing the ball.
Yeah.
And when you pass the ball, people get excited.
Mm.
And Pitso says to you, hey, lama paswako. Are not productive.
Yeah.
They're not talking investment to us.
Yeah.
Share that experience with us.
Look, we have a coach, Pitso Mosimane, whom at the time, many didn't know how obsessed he is with football.
Yeah.
He watches football every single minute that he has. And at times, that is annoying because he's forever talking about football.
Yeah.
But when you're younger, you never understand that.
Yeah.
And Coach Pitso coached me for like 8 years straight.
Yeah.
Whether in Bafana,
SuperSport,
Mamelodi Sundowns, he coached me 8 years straight. So I knew exactly what he wanted from his players. And I knew the kind of aggression that it would bring.
Yeah.
But if there's one thing that he taught me about the game itself was to play with numbers.
Yeah.
He instilled that in me, that don't play football like the rest of other players in the PSL play. Play with numbers. In a sense that, how many forward passes do you play?
Yeah.
How many assists do you have? How many goals do you have?
Yeah.
I remember when I was still at SuperSport, he used to annoy me and say, I just play for fun.
Yeah.
There's no money in
there's no investment. Yeah. No money. You don't see money.
You don't see money. You don't win as games. You, don't that. You just play nice for the sake of playing nice.
Correct.
And I think that was too harsh and he was very aggressive on that. And that also, you know, changed my game a little bit. And I became a better player because of those conversations. And it just did. It's unfortunate that at the time, there's a lot of gray areas in between because you don't know whether he's too harsh or he's coaching.
Yeah.
But with experience, you started realizing, this person also wants to prepare you to become a better player. And there's one thing that I like about him as well is he doesn't just focus on football itself. He asks you personal questions. He's got this human side of him that he normally doesn't want to use it more because of... He doesn't want to show the softer side of him.
Correct.
So you ask you about Barai Dendlin.
Yes.
But the lights Dendlin. Did you build a car? Does the mom have a house?
Correct.
Are you bringing grocery at home?
Correct.
He asks you those couple of questions and he'll follow up on you.
Yeah.
And for me, it was very, very, very nice to hear that from a coach, you know, at the big, big club like that, to be asking those questions to the younger ones. And I remember him asking me when I was young at SuperSport, asking me those type of questions. So it wasn't just the coach when he wanted to. He was also this mentor, this father figure that we always wanted and that one that you can always go to for assist. But these demands are, I've never been coached by a person that is so demanding, but he made us better.
You're absolutely right to say he's made you guys better.
Mm.
But I would imagine when on reflection of all of those type of things and how he was showing you the different personalities, the harsher side of it, the caring side of it, which perhaps was talking two things, to say, yes, we are playing.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm saying your passes needs to start becoming more of an investment.
Yeah.
But at the same time, whilst we are getting to win and bonuses are becoming better, are you looking after what you're supposed to do at home?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you see the balance of what he's trying to say?
Yeah.
It may have appeared to be a little bit harsher, but there's lessons to be learned. There's similarities in terms of the system that we have.
100%.
Do you remember the goal that Shaba scored?
The worker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who passed him?
Dikhashi.
Are you sure?
It's Dikhashi. If I still remember, that was a long time ago. I remember it was Dikhashi. Because I think people mistaken that pass as me because he passed it the way I would pass if I was in that position.
Yeah.
So I remember that goal very well.
And you were not far from him because when he received the ball, you were almost behind him.
Yeah, I was making
that run.
I think I played against Shaba all his career.
Yeah.
I have never seen him score a goal like that in all the games that I've watched. And I think it came at the right time for a right player.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, with all he has achieved, with Kaizer Chiefs, I don't think he's actually been rewarded for all the work that he's done, for the contribution that he's done to the game.
Yeah.
And at a time, the goal, it wasn't just a goal.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of those goals. And if people can actually remember the celebrations that we had, how happy we were, it was brilliant.
This conversation that we're having, I like the direction that it's taking because we've spoken about the lessons learned out of the journey that you've traveled. But it also encourages conversations amongst peers. Mm. It also encourages conversations amongst those that consume the product, football, to say we have similarities in terms of our lifestyle. We also have to make decisions that we make. Now, you, like any other child, had a dream to play this football.
Mm.
Does the name Dr. Khumalo say anything to you?
Yeah, Dr. Khumalo is a player that I wanted to shape how I played. He, at some point to me, I think he was bigger than the game itself, how I looked at it.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the feeling that I had when watching him play. I would literally, after the game, go outside and play and try to do what he did. And also the excitement that he brought on to everybody else around me at the time. I didn't understand what it was, but I liked how I felt. But as I grew older, I understood the importance of him, the way he did, because people can understood where he come from, understood him, they loved him. And I wanted to be that person. I wanted to bring that joy that doctor brought to me to other kids. But also is now the question comes to now, how did he do it?
Yeah.
And then what type of work that he put in? Because you can't just rely on the talent and say, I want to be just like doctor. But I think he's one player that I was so obsessed with that I wanted to do everything better than him. And some will say, well, it's arrogancy, but I felt that if I want to be on the same level of conversation after I've retired football, I need to do better than him. Because if I do below him, then there's no way me and doctor can be in the same conversation.
Correct.
So I wanted to do better than him. So I started now looking at the stats, looking at the numbers. I said, how many Bafana games did he play? If you play 52, I want to play 53.
Yeah.
And if you scored 16, I want to score 12.
Yeah.
Or 17, right? Yeah. So it became a point of reference for me. And I think if I didn't have that type of reference, I don't know if I would have become the player that I was, because he was my benchmark. So I wanted to do better than him. So doctor actually, he shaped Teko Modise.
Now, Teko Modise were confused. The next thing, Teko Modise at some point was called General.
Yeah.
And then Teko Modise becomes Donna.
Yeah.
That sounds Italian.
No, yes. I think that's the name that I've always had.
Yeah.
But when I got to the PSL, is when you're new into the PSL, when you have a certain style of play, people are always trying to find a nickname for you that will stick.
Yeah.
So there's too many nicknames that never that didn't stay. Like your Navigator, so they never stayed.
Yeah.
And the ones that call me Donna, I knew they know me from Kokas. Yeah. So when you say Donna, I'm quickly to look back because I know that you know me personally.
Yeah.
But now the older I got, the more now dominant Donna became instead of the general itself.
Have you watched Donna play?
Unfortunately not, but I watched Roberto Baggio missing the penalty.
Yeah.
Yes.
So here's a game that you and I are going to play.
Yeah.
So I'm not too sure whether I'll sound the best, like the Italians would say, you know. Me, I'm giving you a phone call.
Okay.
Because I'm calling this man that calls Donna in South Africa, and I want to. Donna, is that you, Donna? And you are saying to me, yes, it is Donna. I say to you, I am Donna Donna.
Yeah.
Me, I want to come and play in your country because I believe your country is beautiful.
Yeah.
I will bring Piero, Franco Baresi, I'm going to bring all of these people. I hear you played for the Sundowns, you played for the Pirates, there you played for the SuperSport. Put your best 11. I bring my people, you bring your people. Therefore, you played for SuperSport, you played for Sundowns, you also played for London Pirates. If you were to put these players that made what Tiko is about, where you were comfortable, you knew that I click with these people, just on top of your head, who would those players be?
Oof, that would be a tough one. I think first will be a goalkeeper. It will be between Onyango and Slim Gat.
Yeah.
So I need to sit on the bench. Right back, I will be Sibonise Ogaka.
Yeah.
Lihlane Masiema.
Yes.
Center back. Lucas Twala.
Okay.
Center back. Left back, I would say Teboho Langaman.
Okay.
And then the midfield, I would say,
That's a tricky one.
Yeah, now it becomes tough now. I would say Surprise Moriri.
Okay.
And Hlompho Kekana.
Yeah.
And then I would say Katlako Mashego up front.
Yeah.
Terminator Mabalang on the right. And who are we playing on the left? I think Bennett Chinene.
Okay, Chinene, Chinene.
Yeah, Bennett Chinene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
and I'll be the reserve.
Why would you be the reserve?
Because I strongly feel there's so many players that made me play better,
yeah,
that made me up my game.
Yeah.
But it's just that there's ones that whenever I played with them, there was that synergy between us that I couldn't explain. And these are just a few guys that I actually spoke about that. You know, I could do stuff with them without explaining, but it would just happen because they understood how I wanted to play.
Yeah.
And for me, it was insane to see that happening for me in the PSL.
I had to get you to create the formula for yourself
because
that's the formula that sums up the conversation that we've been having around making better money decisions.
Yeah.
But it also talks to the team around you, people that makes you become better in life.
Mm.
So you've identified those amongst a full crowd of people.
Mm.
You've identified those people to say, this is the core of people that has contributed to my football, to making me a better person in life. Someone is listening to say, hey, Debo is mentioning these people. And true to that, those people are quite good.
Yeah.
Now, you have to stand in front of the now generation and have a conversation with them.
Yeah.
Reading what is happening, what would you be saying to them?
Wow, that's a tough one. Shoot, I actually thought about this question, but I don't know how to answer it in a sense, because I see myself in a lot of it.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong.
There is. And for me, it pains me when I see that because I know where is that road leading to.
Correct.
So I would say to them, don't conform to the norm.
Yeah.
The norm in a sense that you expected to drive a certain car, you expected to have a certain lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's okay to be different,
yeah,
and it's acceptable to be different. And
there's also
you
and I were talking about the importance of understanding this particular person. Because it's also critical to understand the family background.
Yeah.
You've had your own demons that you've had to deal with yourself.
Yeah.
But you also had to come out and say, I'm going to do it. Whatever happens, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
You were driven by wanting to become successful.
Yes.
But also you wanted to say, I'm going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
Now, you see a lot of those happening.
Yeah.
But I've always said, it's not about falling. Yeah. It's about how you fall. Mm. You fall on your face, then you're going to see what's happening. But you fall on your back, you're able to stand up.
Mm.
We have youngsters that come out and see this Josie as Gollywood.
Mm.
how would you tell them, those that are coming from Tevega and whatever, to come to Joburg? How would you talk to them to say, you're playing for Pirates, you're playing for SuperSport, you're playing for Sundowns, you're playing for whoever? What is the first thing that they need to do?
The first thing probably that I'll say is, don't forget why you're here. You were brought in here to deliver a service. Be good at that. Because there's a lot of destruction that will happen. I think we all human beings have to be go through those things to have to actually know ourselves a little bit better. But the biggest advice is to Josie the dangerous, bruh. Like when you're long about my Josie.
I call it Bollywood.
Like it's so difficult. We grew up, we were brought up here, but it's still so difficult for us still. So can you imagine an outsider coming to Jordan? So for me, I would say they need to remember Ekai and what the values of Ekai that they taught them to come to Jordan when they come to Jordan. And they use those teachings to navigate themselves around Joburg. And also, if they need a balance, if they feel like it's too difficult to contain, let them go back home a couple of days, a couple of weeks, you know, get in touch with what makes you you, come back again being refreshed, because there's a lot of toxicness in Joburg, whether it's football, whether it's lifestyle, whether there's expectations of that. And being a footballer that comes into Joburg, definitely, especially when you're talented, you're going to face those. And you don't want to face them alone. You're always going to seek help. And in most cases, people that are able to help are your families and your friends. So so try as much as you can when given an off or given time. Just go home and reconnect. I think that's important.
So mentorship is critical in this instance. Now, I'm looking at your journey that you've traveled. And I'm looking at how you're dressed. I'm wondering, does he even go to the shop and buy clothes, this guy? Or he just has somebody dropping off the shoes and dropping off the pants? What else do you buy, Pila Pila? Is there something that you go buy? Or is there somebody bringing you, wake up, and this person that comes and drops off this jacket and drops off this thing? How did it happen?
Look, I'm grateful. I'm at a space where you get given stuff for free. I think it
takes off the budget a little bit.
It helps.
It saves.
And what helps with that is because of what I have done in the game.
Okay.
I've respected it so much. Now it's actually respecting me back. And with that is I don't necessarily have to go all out to buy something. I don't feel the need to look a certain way. I'm very comfortable as how I am, and that journey also took me forever to understand. But I'm grateful at the position where I'm at, that I don't necessarily have to go and buy anything expensive to validate anything. I'm very comfortable in my skin. I can safely say that my insecurities are long gone. I'm very comfortable in my skin. So to answer your question, no, I don't buy. They actually, you know, I'm giving.
I know that. No, I know. I think the reason you have that, and I'm getting at that, because there's this concept called personal branding, where post the football career, and it's beginning to answer questions that some people were wondering, if this guy is not going to be playing football, is he going to be able to dress himself up? Is he going to dress the wife up? There's a child that's there, will you be able to buy that prem with those type of things? But you found a way to do that. Now, a lot of youngsters don't have access to this sort of advice. And I'm sure a lot of parents who are going to view this are going to be saying, listen, I think Deku is talking a lot of sense. You say people are dropping off things for him. What is the formula? When Brian talks about personal branding, what does he mean? How do you carry yourself out of the field of play?
You know, for me, it had happened by default. In a sense that it wasn't something that I was trying to build. For me, my biggest obsession was, let me try and be the best that I can with the opportunity being given to me. And unfortunately, with that, with you know, when you Nyana, good nyana, you've been given a responsibility, but I understood my responsibility. That I'm supposed to be a leader. I'm now all of a sudden a role model.
Yeah.
Now I need to act a certain way. So once being given a tag of being a role model, which means everywhere you go, all these kids are looking up to you.
Yeah.
So now I assumed that role early on because I understood what that role meant, because the person that I was looking up to, he was already a brand himself.
Yeah.
He retired a long time ago, but his name is still relevant.
Yeah.
So I asked myself, how do I become in that position where even after I'm long gone, my name is still relevant? It's now I started carrying myself different outside the pitch. But now there needed to be two different personalities. So I needed to create a personality now. So now on the pitch, I'll be a beast.
Yeah.
I'll be the most untouchable player. I'll be the most deadliest player.
Yeah.
But off the pitch, I had the responsibility. I understood what the fans were to the club. I understood when I go to the garage to pour petrol, when that petrol attendant said, can I have a selfie with you? Can I have a picture with you?
Correct.
I understood what it meant. And I think that on its own, it created this image.
Yeah.
It created this brand now that also even big brands want to associate themselves with you, because beyond your playing days, beyond what you've done on the pitch, you're also a human being that people can also relate to. I wanted to be related with everything that I've done because kids are workers.
Yeah.
So I don't know any superstar behavior, but I knew what was needed from me to be inspiring the younger ones, inspiring the one that comes after me to show them what it is actually possible. So I understood my role very well. So I think it's important for those ones who are playing right now to manage Ikamala, because you're not only just representing the club that you're playing for, you're representing your family, because that's why the name of your family is at the back. And I think that's also who is important, because whatever action that you make, you know, understand that the consequences don't just come to you.
Yeah.
You've got so many mouths to feed, you've got so many people that are looking up to you. So once you understand that leadership role, it actually paves the way as to how you need to handle your career.
There was an incident recently, I think it involved Will Smith. With a comedian.
Yeah.
And Will Smith, this comedian, Jim comedian, said whatever that he said. And Will Smith felt, hey, I'm the one tell now.
Yeah.
For people like you, it happens.
Yeah.
Stand downs or Chiefs lost.
Yeah.
And somebody comes and he says whatever that he says to you. How much of emotional intelligence do you exercise in situations like that? Because it's in the moment. This guy pays money all the time to come and watch you, whether you miss the penalty.
Yeah.
And this guy has saved his money to go watch you.
Yeah.
Whether you go and miss a penalty and he sees you the next day, he says this loud, this big word.
Yeah.
How do you react to such a situation? Because I've seen players reacting.
Yeah.
I've seen Mike Tyson reacting.
Yeah.
Now, Tiko Mudisa, how does
it takes a lot for not to react.
Yes.
Yeah. If there's one thing that helped me to survive all the negativity and me not reacting.
Yeah.
I remember one day when I joined Orlando Pirates, there was just between me and the chairman, Dr. Adam Cole, just the two of us. He let everybody go. So he was telling me about the history of the club, and that was before I signed.
Yeah.
So he was telling me about the history of the club and what the club would actually do for me. And I remember him telling me about the importance of the fans, telling me that these people save so much money. Some of them, they're earning peanuts, but they're saving money to come and watch you guys play. And when they come there and play, that 90 minutes of football is very therapeutic. It helps them to not think about anything else but the game itself. So they feel like you're part of their life because they invested so much in you guys to win the games and to play well. So you need to understand that when you're on the pitch, you represent them.
Yeah.
So that was his message to me. So now, and he saw it, you've got an obligation to entertain and also help the club to win. Because those people, he said, that was me before kicking the ball for
like
he said, you've got an opportunity that people might come here and pay and buy tickets just to watch you play. Not Orlando Pirates, but just to watch you play.
Yeah.
So when you have that opportunity to play for my club, entertain those. You must have that subconscious mind. There are people that pay tickets to come and watch you play. Entertain those. But on the other side, do what you're supposed to do and help the team to win. And I think with that mentality, it helped me to understand the fans a little bit better, because I understood the value of the fans because of what the conversation was in me signing for Orlando Pirates. So the reason why I'm saying that is because, like I said earlier, it takes everything in me to act. And it takes a man, a real man, not to react on those type of situations. But also it's about principles as well, the integrity of the person as well. So I think those are the things that football has taught me. And no matter how angry the person might be, instead, if I have to respond, I really keep quiet and understand that I need to calm down. I need to understand how this person looks at me. So, yeah.
Now, we have this situation within the football space where people tend to be too reserved.
Yeah.
And people tend to say, no, I can't talk to this particular person because... But well, what they, when being categorized, you've had that type of situation.
Yeah.
How do we break into that psyche, the stereotype of people thinking, oh no, I can't talk to this one because why born?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We've got this concept, but it's also the echo cards.
Yeah, of course.
Where suddenly the echo is working, and then I'm working, and I'm, my life is changing. Yeah. We feel we can't do things together. I should categorize this one. I should. How do we break into that cycle? It happens within this football space that we're in.
You're funny. It's all my career. I had to deal with that everywhere I went.
Yeah.
Because I had this burning ambition of trying to become the best and trying to win it all costs. And within that as well is trying to find a balance between a human being and a professional footballer.
Yeah.
So therefore, those who feel some type of way, they'll actually say, where they think you're better than everybody else.
Yeah.
Because they're so insecure with your presence. So now they want you to feel what they're feeling.
Yeah.
So now I didn't succumb to that, but I realized that if I have to be in the space and really take these things, what they're saying, seriously, I'll end up being just blending in and become average. Yeah. If I want to be the best, I have to be different. I knew that at a young age that I needed to be different for me to do things differently. And I think the problem that we have in football, in PSL or in football in South Africa is the reason why players don't want to have that type of conversation or it's because we're so scared of the truth. We don't want to know the truth, and we're so scared to even speak about what the truth is. And most of the time is when you do have teammates, instead of complimenting each other, we compete.
Yeah.
So now it becomes a competition constantly. I'm off the pitch, we're still competing. You're buying this brand of a car, I'm buying a better one because we're competing.
Yeah.
We're on the pitch, instead of you passing me the ball to score, win the Champions League, you hit the side net because you're competing with me. You just seeing the headlines.
Yeah.
So now instead of complimenting each other, and I've realized with that as well, most of the time, especially us, is because we're always competing against each other instead of complimenting each other.
Let's talk this competition. Competition where somebody buys a Range Rover and then they don't have a house.
It's insane. No, it's crazy.
It happens.
It's a status thing. Everybody wants to assume a certain status in the community. And because lack of knowledge, we think that having that status it defines us as men. It defines us as men, as a strong person. And I think we need validation, and we use those material things to get validation, but it only lasts for a certain period of time, because you when you walk into a building like this, nobody knows what you're driving. So you end up putting your car keys on the table for people to see you're driving.
Who are driving? But yet you don't have a house on the other.
You don't have a house. You don't, because you don't, you, for you is what, how people perceive me is better than me having a house.
Yeah.
It's you, that's where the decisions that you spoke about now becomes very key as to what priorities do you have. Do you want to have a Range Rover that you look so beautiful in? It feels so comfortable, it's very soft. But when the sun sets, you don't have a place to sleep. You don't have a house. Those are the decisions that comes through. And sometimes because we don't know better, we follow the norm. And because we don't have a reference, a point of reference, and say, I want to be like Doctor, I want to do like Brian. Most of the time we end up doing what everybody's doing around us. And that's a sad story.
Let's tick boxes, Teko's boxes, in terms of his journey, what his things he has achieved based on his dream of playing football in terms of his life, how it turned out to be.
Mm.
Let's tick those boxes. Help us to tick those boxes. But those boxes, after you've done that, we need to be able to take it out to those people that have supported us.
Yeah.
Because the idea is to make better money decisions that we should have.
Mm.
We should be able to be comfortable in the space that we are in. So we've traveled this day and we've made so many mistakes.
Yeah.
Let's begin to tick those boxes from when the dream of wanting to play football kicked in to some of what you may call, I fell a little bit and then I came up.
Yeah.
But I became this person that we are, because the idea of the series that we're doing is to be able to connect with those people and encourage this conversation. Yeah. So that when they see you and they see me, they should come and say, let's have this conversation.
Yeah.
Because that's what the bank is all about. NetBank is all about building this family together.
Look, I think the box, in terms of ticking the boxes, I would say first, the first box was to become a player of importance in within my era.
Yeah.
And after that, I wanted to be able to inspire and help those who are coming after me. And by saying that, not just in a play, but also in making right decisions, in looking at the potholes and being aware of those things. And sometimes there are potholes that you need to go through to understand, to learn. And I think what also probably maybe the box that I'll tick was to take my story and share instead of keeping it to myself and make them understand. As much as you looked at me and I looked like a person that had everything together,
yeah,
I also had my misfortunes and challenges. Correct. As well. So and also to say to them is it becomes very difficult when you fall, and then when you look around you feel like there's no way out. This is my situation. And everything in your vein, in your soul, tells you to admit that you are a failure, because the surrounding encourages that you're a failure.
Yeah.
Now it takes so much from you to try and stand up and try to move forward. And I think with my story, with my journey, that's what I try to do. And I think I'll tell all the players that are younger ones, everybody that is working, whether you're young or old, is at some point you're going to fall. At some point you're going to fail. At some point you're going to make a wrong decision, whether it's money, whether it's personal decisions. It's how you react after that. Because we're saying experience is the best teacher. But you can be a best teacher once you've learned about that experience. But if you can just say it's an experience but you never learn from it, the chances are you're going to repeat the same thing. And I would say that, you know, if you're able to walk and walk through with the pain and still try to move forward, I think that's the best thing that you do.
Yeah.
Because once you stagnate, bruh, you're not really living anymore.
You haven't started.
Exactly. So I'd say keep on moving. It might be painful. You might not even see any hand that's trying to help you up, but it doesn't necessarily, there's no hands. Because sometimes we're looking at situation from this standing point. We don't look at situation from far ahead. So now we need to be courageous enough to try and move forward, even if we don't see anything happening. We don't feel anything. We need to walk by faith, not by sight.
You strike me as the type of guy that you could take to a nightclub and he would dance.
Nightclub winner.
But I'm not too sure if the one foot is going to be the type of thing. What type of music do you listen to?
I'm a hip-hop guy. I think you can tell.
Really?
By the way I dress. Yeah, through and through.
What are you playing in the car?
It depends on the mood. But because of all this music right now, it's too much to consume. So you don't even have time to enjoy an album, because every week something is new.
Yeah.
So I always go back to my old favorites. It depends on the mood. So I'll listen. But trust me, on a happy day, hip-hop in my car. All the time. That's my, I call
your
it.
Your all-time favorite hip-hop guy.
In South Africa?
Yeah.
In South Africa, I would say Pro Kid.
Pro Kid?
Yes.
What kind?
Jeezy.
Jeezy.
Yeah.
If you were to go on holiday and take family,
yeah,
where would you want to go?
I would go to...
That's after making better money choices, saved for the holiday. Where do you go?
I'll go to McInnes. I haven't been. Yeah. It looks beautiful. I'll go to McInnes.
Some people have not even been to Paris when I are cooking.
No, because I played the games all my life and I've traveled the world.
Yeah.
But I was always in the hotels.
Yeah.
So I've never experienced traveling. As much as the passport, you stand there.
You stand there, but you haven't.
Yeah, but I've never experienced anything. So I'm trying to find. I want to create experiences, and especially with situations that have been happening with COVID, I mean, you learn to appreciate smaller things. So I'm trying to get back to a person that I never thought that I'll be. I want to travel more. So I want to create memories. I want to create memories for myself.
I want to stand up and say to you, my brother, this has been one of the conversations that I've enjoyed. I've done two and I've enjoyed every moment of it because you're sharing your experience.
Thank you, sir.
And I think for me, the takeout, that's why I was saying, let's tick these boxes, because the idea is to tell the story.
Yes.
Encourage people to have this conversation, tough as they are.
Yeah.
And they should know there's someone like you that has gone through that journey and they've actually ended up making it. Because for me, that's the story that we want to tell, and that's the story that we want to do, and it pays off quite well.
Yeah, and it's a journey that we still continue going through. We're learning as you go, and the conversation is still tough, but it helps you to make better choices. So we need to start having conversations about money.
I am the best.
No, thank you.
With you, I am the best. I'm going to start investing even more because you and I, like I'm saying, I come from a different generation, but we're learning.
Yeah, of course.
It's a learning thing.
Of course.
You're a family man.
Yes.
I've been a family man for, I don't know how many years. I've forgotten now. Yeah. They're still expecting me at home and they're expecting you.
Yeah.
So it's been a wonderful journey.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Wonderful.
How's it? And it's a wrap.